My name is Ms. Mendez, and I am the host on the Memoirs of Her podcast. Tonight's topic of discussion will be based on ways to boost your confidence and self-esteem. So tonight's topic is going to be about 10 effective ways to boost your confidence, and this is just part one of two. I'm going to go over 5 effective ways to boost your self-esteem on this podcast, and then the next time we meet again, we'll do the next 5 effective ways to boost your confidence, part 2. So, before I begin, I'd like to share a story and just give a main lesson and moral of the story, too. This is basically about self-esteem. This is what I want all my listeners to be aware of and to take note of, and the value of what it's like to have high self-esteem about yourself and just self-esteem in general. So what I'm about to share with you is about a young lady. Her name is Joy. She's in her mid-age, and I just want to highlight, you know, some of the challenges and conflicts that this young lady may have gone through, but then I want to also share a statement behind it. Okay, so when I think about confidence, I think about someone who has a healthy self-love and concept about themselves. However, I have a story. It was a lady who went by the name of Joy. The only difference is she never felt as good as her name or how she appeared. Joy was an ambitious, independent, and self-righteous soul who could do no wrong in the eyes of mainstream society. Joy was considered your ideal standard of beauty. She didn't have too many plastic surgeries, and she didn't have too much experience splurging on not only the finer things in life, but of her outward aesthetics. After all, she deserved it. She worked hard for the life she wanted. Just imagine, she was middle-aged, child-free, career-driven, and single. Family wasn't something she valued because she came from a single parenting and non-supportive household. Joy had everything to gain from the world, just as much as she had to lose. Joy, indeed, what most will call her a successful, beautiful so-called black woman. Joy didn't have much education, but she had loads of experience with being around the right people at the right times. She invested in apprenticeships. She allowed herself to be mentored in school by those she inspired to become. Although Joy had a promising future and endless means to success, it was just this one thing Joy could not wrap her mind and soul and heart around, and that was her confidence. She appeared like she had it all together, and she was the most beautiful example of what we call beauty and progressive way of living. Joy was subconsciously dying inside because she had no support or love from another human being. Of course, she had her puppy who relied on her and who she loved dearly. Joy didn't feel like she was good enough, therefore, she will always undermine her standards and expectations of real human encounters with someone romantically and platonically. Deep down inside, Joy has always lived a sheltered and subconscious lifestyle, which led her to this point of examining true happiness and her level of confidence inwardly. Joy was a distorted figure on the inside, but on the outside, she was a perfect 10. Joy didn't feel as good as she looked, as I mentioned in the beginning, because she failed to have a true relationship with self. And while she was busy focusing on the outer exterior of who she wanted to be in the world, she lost the roots and connection to herself. Her obsession for beauty created a silent monster within. The monster of negative self-talk, self-loathing behavior, and self-sabotage. She struggled between who she was and her pride. In the end, Joy had to lose herself before she could ever backtrack to find herself. Joy had to discover her beauty from within and match it to the pride she took in herself and image to others. Joy had to get to a place where she didn't allow materialism to determine or define her worth. So, as I share with you the story, a brief synopsis of who Joy was, y'all got an understanding of who and what she is. And this leads me back to the comment or statement that I've concluded was that obsession with beauty only lies in skin-deep reflections of the soul rather than deflections of beauty from one person to another. In other words, what I mean by that statement is that so many people, or so many women per se, or races of women, are so obsessed with the standard of beauty and being able to work on reflecting feminine aspect of it and beauty just in general, that sometimes they lose the aspect of self, who and what they are, you know, trying to adopt the identity but losing themselves in the end. So this is where deflection comes from, where, you know, when one woman compare herself to another woman and feel, oh, this person is beautiful than me, or this person is less beautiful than me, and just going through this comparison and competition. So this is what I mean by that. Reflection, deflection, and things of that sort. So, the topic of tonight's show is 10 Effective Ways to Boost Your Confidence, part 1 of 2. So, the first 5 effective ways to boost your confidence is, first, I'm going to go through all 5 and then elaborate. Okay, so, the first one is learn how to forgive yourself. The second will be to be kind to yourself. And the third will be to learn from your mistakes. And number 4 would be to don't bully or be mean to yourself. And number 5 is simply smile more. Okay? And that's just in general. There's no elaboration to that. But going back to number 1 where I said learn how to forgive yourself. And learning how to forgive yourself is when you acknowledge and you focus on your emotions and you validate those emotions and don't feel ashamed because you feel angry, because you feel sad, because you feel happy and joyful. Own those feelings. Get comfortable with those feelings. Acknowledge it. Accept it. Validate it. And when you know that you wasn't feeling the best of yourself, you know, you may have said some things, did some things, or whatever the case might be. You know, it could be out of anger. You know, whatever emotion you was in, you want to harness in on that emotion. And if it had a negative outcome or effect on you in the end, then you want to be able to come to the conclusion to be able to forgive yourself once you acknowledge that emotion and validate it. Okay? The second would be to acknowledge any mishaps or mistakes at face value. And what I mean by that is that a lot of times people will make mistakes or get into situations with other people and be so quick to point the finger rather than taking accountability and say, how did I contribute to this mistake or this mishap? You know, a lot of times when people, you know, deflect from the problem or when they don't want to take accountability, it leads to more delays, more mishaps, and more confusions in your life. So this is why I say to acknowledge, if you made a mistake, if you had mishaps, at face value, and just simply take accountability for it as a man or as a woman. You know, this is just a part of life. No one is perfect. No one is perfect. Okay? So that's how you learn how to forgive yourself, when you acknowledge some of the things that you weren't good at, or made mistakes or had come up across some mishaps. Another factor would be to give yourself time to process everything to heal. Okay? A lot of times, sometimes we may not have done anything. You know, it could have been somebody doing something to you. And at the end of the day, you know, it might take you a long time to recover whether, you know that you did something out of guilt, regret, or when somebody just simply hurt or betrayed you. You need time to heal each aspect, whether it's guilt, shame, hurt, betrayal. You need time. A lot of times people let those feelings fester and let it build, and then it explodes like a volcano to where it becomes uncontrollable. And when your emotions and things are uncontrollable, you're not able to have power over you or be able to be in control over your emotions, your thought process, and things of that sort. So this is why when you focus on your emotions and validate it, when you acknowledge what is wrong and what needs to be fixed, you have to give yourself time to heal. Doesn't matter what spectrum it is. Okay? Another factor of learning how to forgive yourself is to keep a journal. Keep a journal to manage your inner critic. Because a lot of times, sometimes, in most cases, we may criticize ourselves. We may criticize who and, what we are not, or what we're striving to be, how much money or how little money we have, and, how much education and this thing, this, that, the third, just the negative inner critic that we may have within ourselves, or whatever self-critics that we have may not always be negative, but you want to be able to keep a journal to keep track of that, be able to express yourself free, right? So that way it could give you a different perspective on just being able to forgive yourself and look at life from a different lens and perspective. Now, if things are a little bit out of control, maybe you can't do this on your own and you need the encouragement, you need that push from someone else, someone who has a certain profession, maybe a therapist, a psychologist, or something of that sort. Sometimes you may need to seek professional help in order to be able to get to that path or that journey in life as far as forgiving yourself and then being able to find the strength to forgive someone else. Okay? So now as I move along to number two, where I said to be kind to yourself. And what that looked like is showing kindness and compassion to yourself. Meaning, don't be so harsh on yourself as in, oh, I hate this about myself, or I hate that, a certain feature or whatever, or, disability or whatever the case might be. Don't be harsh on yourself. Be kind. Be compassionate. Be understanding of yourself and who and what you are. This is how you are able to boost your confidence. When you are kind and compassionate to yourself and know that you do deserve love. A lot of times people are so angry at themselves because they feel like they don't deserve love. So a part of being kind to yourself is showing kindness and being compassionate. Okay? If you make a mistake, learn from it, or you fail at something, dust yourself off and keep going. That's how you be kind to yourself. Don't give up. Another factor is don't judge yourself harshly for not being perfect, okay? Because nobody's perfect. I don't care how a number 10 a person may be, they still imperfect. They still have ups and downs in life. I don't care how people show on social media how good of a life they are. Everybody go through ups and downs. Everybody experience loss and abundance in different levels, in different spectrums. And that's just the reality. So this is a part of being kind to yourself when you are realistic and you don't judge yourself harshly because you feel that you don't measure up or you're not where another person is at in life where you want to be. You keep striving and you pave your own path in life. Another factor would be to make time for yourself every day. Why not check in with yourself? Even if it's just simply for a moment, you're taking a bathroom break, getting ready, getting prepared for the day, and just saying a little affirmation to yourself. I love me. I care about me. Looking in the mirror, you know, saying that you are going to conquer another day, you're going to win the day. Saying those things are very inspirational and motivational when you say these things to keep yourself going, because you deserve it. You deserve the good talk. You deserve to be able to inspire and encourage yourself to move forward, you know? So this is the part of being kind to yourself. When you take that time to for yourself every now and then, sometimes taking a cup of tea or having a cup of coffee or being able to read a book or writing in your journal, that is taking time for yourself out each and every day. Sometimes people are so routine and get stuck in a routine that they forget to take just 5 minutes of their time to themselves, just to simply breathe, inhale, exhale. Some people just need that in life, okay? And then another factor is to focus on self-care and self-love, okay? That is very integral, very essential to being kind to yourself. When you have a special regimen in the morning, when you have a special regimen at night to take care of yourself, to take care of your body, take care of your mental health, listen to podcasts such as my own or other people's podcasts, listening to music that's soothing. You know, these things are being kind to yourself because it's improving your mental health, it's improving how you look and see yourself, and it's boosting your self-esteem when you have these routines. And self-love, when you have self-love, you have self-respect for yourself. Okay, at a different level, when you learn to love yourself and when you learn to love, you know, every aspect of taking care of yourself, from what you eat, from the people who you want around you, from what you listen to, all of those things are what you ingest inside of yourself. And when you're mindful of those things, you know, and you want better, it's nothing wrong with wanting better for yourself. That is being kind to yourself. Okay, and as I mentioned before, being kind to yourself is developing healthy routines and rituals. Rituals does not mean it's witchcraft or anything of that sort. It's synonymous with routine. Routine is just something what you do on an hourly clock. Rituals is just something that you do faithfully because you know that it's a benefit to you. So that's the difference between routine and ritual. Okay, you do it faithfully. Number three is to learn from your mistakes, okay? This is the part of boosting your self-esteem. So once you learn to forgive yourself, you're kind to yourself, and then you learning from your mistakes, that's a beautiful thing and a beautiful place to be in life. Now, what I mean by that, as far as learning from your mistakes, you know how they say, if you know better, you do better, right? Well, the first would be to acknowledge what was done or happened that was wrong, okay? When you acknowledge what was wrong, what was done, know that it is in past tense, you can't change the past. You can only move forward to the future with a solution and be able to move forward from there. But why not move forward in life by learning from our mistakes and turning it to lessons, okay, rather than repeated offenses or repeated mistakes. Now, another factor is never blame others for your mistakes or unhappiness. Other people are not to blame for your mistakes and unhappiness because, once again, as I mentioned at the beginning of my podcast, that you want to be able to take accountability for yourself. Everything that you do, you take accountability and responsibility for everything. Even if you didn't do anything wrong, still take accountability for it because it shows that you're the bigger person. And then when you put your happiness in other people, that's where you fail at. If you can't find happiness within yourself or what makes you happy, then you need to shut everything and everybody out and find what makes you happy. Because when your happiness lies in other people, people can swing you from one pendulum to the other, where they put you on a high and low. If they want you to be miserable, you're going to be just as miserable just like them. Why? Because misery loves company. So, this is why you should never blame no one for your mistakes or unhappiness. Okay? You find those things, happiness from within. Okay? You learn from mistakes. Not by blaming someone else and not being able to learn from whatever you did wrong. No, you acknowledging it and taking the necessary steps because it's mature. It's a mature thing for you to do, and learning from those mistakes. I know I sound like a broken record, but I cannot stress it anymore. Okay? You feel good when you at that level of maturity, and of course that boosts your self-esteem and confidence when you take accountability for everything, even if you didn't do anything wrong. Okay? Another factor would be to take accountability for your life. When you take accountability for your life, I'm talking about every aspect, every nook and cranny, you know, how you want your life to be, where you want to be in life, whether you want to go for education, whether you want to go for a certain profession, you know, make a certain type of salary, all of those things lies in you, what you want. You're not allowing somebody else to live your life or dictate your life. You're taking charge, you're taking the front wheel, and you're driving that vehicle, metaphorically, of your life. You're not allowing nobody else to live it for you but you. That's taking accountability. You're not taking the back seat on anything or any aspect of your life, but everything. Where you want to go in life, where you want to be. And don't feel ashamed about it. If you want better for yourself, then by all means, you do that. Okay? Another aspect from learning from your mistake is sometimes you got to sit back and reflect. Sometimes you got to be just alone. And you have to ask yourself tough questions such as, what went wrong? What can I do better next time? And what did I learn from this? When you ask yourself tough questions such as that, a part of taking accountability, those things take your mind to a different place. It stretches your capacity as far as being able to see things differently, you know, seeing things from different angles, different aspects, thinking outside of the box rather than having a box mentality. When you ask yourself difficult and tough questions, it also boosts your self-esteem, because when someone else asks you a tough question, you feel confident enough to answer it. Why? Because you already went through the whole process of asking yourself tough questions and going through that reflection. Okay, so a part of learning from your mistakes is turning them into lessons, okay, and becoming a stronger person. Number four would be, don't bully or be mean to yourself. Like, for example, what that look like is having a constant low self-esteem, okay, because someone else didn't validate your beauty, because someone else didn't validate your achievements. So you rather be mean and bully yourself because it is because somebody else didn't validate you, or someone is always making you feel low about yourself because you allowed them to? No, don't do that to yourself. Don't bully and don't be mean to yourself. Another aspect of that, how that looks, is not feeling attractive or good enough for no apparent reason, and you're not doing anything about it, but you feeling unattractive, or you feeling like, okay, you're not good enough, so why even try, or why even do these things? That's being mean to yourself. Okay, that's really being mean to yourself. Negative self-talk. Oh, I will never be accepted because the color of my skin, hypothetically. Oh, I will never be accepted because of the income bracket where I'm at. Nobody will ever respect me. You know, having this negative talk is being mean and a part of bullying yourself. Not eating or nourishing your body properly is a part of bullying yourself. You know that you need a proper nourishment. You know you need to eat properly, but you choose not to. That's bullying and being mean to yourself. Lack of hygiene and self-care is another factor of being mean to yourself. It goes deeper than the surface of just mental health. But when you choose not to focus on your hygiene and self-care, and you just rather just let yourself go because you're like, hey, you know, I have this negative energy around me. Oh, I'm just going to submerge into it and just not give a care about the world. You can't do that. You can't do that. There's so much more to life and living than to just let yourself go at home and just feel like the whole world, the weight of the whole world is on your shoulder. You gotta get out of that. Okay? When you practice good hygiene and self-care, that is a natural boost in your confidence, because proper hygiene and self-care goes hand in hand with each other. Okay? And if your hygiene is not up to par, then that means your mental space is not up to par. And you need the professional care, or sometimes people need to get medicated because they could be diagnosed with a mental issue. And it's nothing to be ashamed about it. Some people might have depression. Some people may have clinical depression. And it's nothing to be ashamed or feel guilty about, but you want to get help. You don't want to just sit there and just let yourself go if you know that you need that help, okay? So the fifth thing, as I said, and there's no elaboration to that, is to simply smile. Smile more. You know, even if you don't feel like it, just still smile. Don't look for someone else to smile at you. You just simply smile. Why? Because you're happy. Okay? Even if you don't feel happy. But you want to fake it till you make it, right? So that's what we're going to do. So that means you're going to smile. Let people see that beautiful smile. Let some people see your teeth. Let them see that beautiful, you know, grin that you have, whatever the case might be. And that can just take you a long way. Take you off to building your confidence. Somebody might see your smile and say, you got a beautiful smile, and that could make your day, okay, and put you on the right track. So, with that being said, I went through the 5 effective ways to boost your confidence, part 1 of 2. On next week's podcast, I will talk about 10 effective ways to boost your confidence, the other 5 of part 2. So stay tuned for next week's show. And I thank you all for listening to tonight's show. So with that being said, bye-bye.